Good morning. Today's Dapim Amud Zias Tez Zayin, where Tez Vav Amud Beis. We are continuing an assortment of Dapim that have to do with purchasing from thieves. Okay. I know we just finished Baba Kama talking about this topic, but here in Bab Metzia, so a number of Dapim, Yudalit, Tez Vav, today's Daf, Tez Zayin. So we're going to continue along, and we're going to be ending yesterday's Daf. We're going to go over a couple of conclusive points regarding getting reimbursed. Okay, we talked about reimbursement a lot over the last couple of days. We'll conclude on that topic, but today, quite frankly, just a little bit more of the same. Obviously, every line of the Gemara introduces a new chiddush, but still, the idea is good. The ideas are going to be basically the same. The Gemara says as follows: Hikar Bashena Shalom. Okay, so we continue now discussing buying from a Goslin. Okay, so you're purchasing from a Goslin. So up until now, we've been discussing where you're buying from a Goslin and surprise. In other words, you only discover later he was a Goslin, so forth and so on. But let's say you know he's a Goslin. So Hikerba, Shayna Shalom. So you know full well that the guy's a Goslin, and so what are you doing, right? Which is a fantastic question. what are you doing right now? You're just giving him money? So the Velacha. So now what you do is that you're buying the property, but again, you know this is not a sale. And so what you did now is that basically you gave the Goslin money. Okay. There's got to be more to the story, but right now we don't care about more to the story. We want to know, we're learning Gemara right now, so our only interest is from a Gemara standpoint is, how are we looking at that transaction? You just handed somebody money that you know you're not buying anything with that money. So Amarav Yeshlo. Shevach ein lo. Yeah, I'm sorry. Amarav Maus Yeshlo Shevach ein lo. So Shmuel Amarav Filo Maus ein lo. So now, as far as Rav is concerned, so what you can do is you can ask for the money back. You're not going to get back Shevach, but you can ask for the money back. You ask for it. You can demand that money back. And Shmuel's of the position that no, not only you're not getting the Shevach, you're not even going to get the Maus. You're not even getting the Maus. Okay, now, obviously over here, what we need is Hesber. We need an explanation. So according to Rav, what's happening over here in this transaction is the following. I know he's a Goslin. I know the land doesn't belong to him. I need Odeya. What I'm trying to do over here is that basically I just want him to hold my money. Now, again, by the way, I'm also struggling, right? These do not seem to be the best decisions that you're making right now. Of the people that I'm trusting right now to hold my money, I'm going to give it to a Goslin. I know. I know. But regardless, the point is that the way the transaction is viewed according to Rav. It's a pikadon. And so therefore, all I'm asking you to do is hold it for me. I know the land doesn't belong to him and it's not a sale. And therefore I'm entitled to ask for my money back. But name alay l'shem pikadon, the Gemara says, now, why don't you just simply say, look, I need you to hold my money. Sarva la mekabo. So the psychology over here is that, well, my thought process is that if I say it's the pikadon, he's not going to want to hold it for me. Here, hold my money. No, I'd rather not hold your money. So in other words, so if we go about it in this circuitous route where I'm handing him the money in exchange for the land that I'm buying, knowing full well that I'm not purchasing land, so it's a pikadon. Shmuel savra demidei shekarkein lo gamar v'nasan l'shem matana. Now, according to Shmuel, the correct way to look at this transaction, it's a gift. Again, I know the land doesn't belong to him. I know it's not a sale. I'm gifting it to him. I'm gifting him the money. Now, the Gemara says, okay, but just tell him it's a matana. So the Ksifalei Mil, so the Gemara says, yeah, but in other words, it's beyond his dignity. I'm just going to gift him money. He's not going to take money if I just gift him money. So in other words, rather than gift him the money, I'm just going to tell him, hey, this is the money for a quote-unquote sale. I'm putting that in air quotes. It's not a sale. Good. So over here we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. When I'm giving somebody money and I know that there is no sale, so how are we viewing that transaction? That giving over the money, according to Rav, it's just a pikadon. According to Shmuel, it's a matana. Okay. And again, the human psychology and dynamics of, well, why don't you just say so? Okay. So the reasons why you don't just say so. All this should sound familiar. Okay. Now, granted, by the way, we did this a while ago, but all this should sound familiar. And the Gemara points that out. Okay. So this takes us back to the Gemara in Kedushin. Okay. It's been a minute since we were there, but still, the Gemara in Kedushin brings down the following scenario. And that is that you go over to your sister and you give her kesef Kedushin. You can't be Mekadosh your sister. She's one of the arayos of the Torah. And so when you're handing her the Kesef Kedushin, once again, what are we going to say? What is that money that you gave her? So here we go. All this is going to sound like an echo. So Rav Amar Maos Chozrin Ushmal Amar Maos Matana. Rav Amar Maos Chozrin Adam Yadesh and Kedushin Tovsin Bachosa Vegamar Venasal Shem Pikadon. Yes, so Shitas Rav is that when you handed the money over to your sister and you called the Kesef Kedushin, again, it's not a Kedushin. So you just wanted her to hold the money, wash the money. And again, the same dynamics and the same psychology. If I say to her, hey, could you hold my money? Your sister's going to say no. So you give her the Kesef Kedushin. You call it Kesef Kedushin, okay. And it begs the question, by the way, which I know is discussed, but we're not going to discuss it. Like, in other words, what is she thinking? Meaning, we know what the brother is thinking, but what is she thinking when she receives the money? Okay. Anyway, Shmuel Amar Maos Matana Adam Yadesh in Kedushin Tovsin Bechos VeGamar VeNasal Shem Matana. So, and again, you're being Mekash your sister. You're not being Mekash your sister. So you just, in other words, it's a way of gifting her money. VeNeimalei. And again, the same back and forth. Why don't you just simply say, hey, sis, I'm giving you some money as a gift because she's going to be embarrassed and you don't want to embarrass her. So you call a Kesef Kedushin. And that's less embarrassing? Okay. I'm admitting, by the way, some of the dynamics over here, some of the human dynamics I am a little bit confused by, but regardless. The point is that now twice in Shas, in Kedushin, today's daf, I know yesterday's daf, so we're going over this idea that when I'm handing money to somebody and it's not a transaction and I'm not getting something in return, so how are we viewing that money being handed over? So Rav and Shmuel, consistent, just happens to discuss two different cases. One when you're buying property from Gazlan, two when you're handing your sister Kesef Kedushin. And in both cases, Rav says it's a Pikadon, Shmuel says it's a Matana. Now, Tzricha, you know where we're going next. This is what we always do. Twice in Shas, we're discussing it. Shouldn't we only have to discuss it once and that's it? So my answer, of course, is no. We need to discuss it twice because we need the Chazara. But obviously the Gemara is not happy with that. So Tzricha, deed my baha baha kamarav delo avdin shidi avdin matasla nuchra ava gabe achoso emamo delay lishmo. Okay, so in other words, the differentiation between the cases, possible differentiation. You see, in the first case, by the Gazlan, in our case, by the Gazlan, you don't give money to a stranger. But in other words, by your sister, you do give her gifts. So I would have thought now that Rav would agree to Shmuel in the case of the Mikadosh Achoso. Ve'i Itmar, just give me one moment. Ve'i Itmar b'ach b'ach kamar Shmuel ava b'heim amodele l'Rav Tzricha. And just simply reverse engineer. In other words, and I would have thought that Shmuel would agree to Rav in our case over here by the Gazlan. In other words, again, he's a stranger. You're going to give money to a stranger? Shmuel say yes. Go ahead.
Why can we say by the brother giving it to his sister, it's let nothing happen? It's not valid whatsoever.
But he gave her the money.
But he can't say the same condition.
Okay, good. But he gave her.
But it's not a valid transfer whatsoever.
But he gave. Okay, good, Lomar Klum. But he gave her the money.
She's not going to need it yet.
But what? Then I don't think that Rav and Shmuel, whatever, because if it's Lomar Klum, there shouldn't be any discussion over here whatsoever.
But again, I know I'm repeating myself now, but he gave her the money. Okay, good. So, Bein L'Rav Damar Pikadon, Bein L'Shmuel Damar Matana, Haya La'arav Amai Kanachis, Uperes Heicha Achil. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rav and Shmuel, well, right, according to Rav, it's a Pikadon, according to Shmuel, it's a Matana. So now, so at that point in time, so this guy now knows full well that he didn't buy property. And meanwhile, in other words, after, again, air quotes, buying the land, knowing full well that he didn't buy it, so he's going to the property and he's eating the pears, and like, what's happening over there? Savarana eichos aravevet veichel begavei keichet ahave ka'avid ihu. He says, look, I know what's going to happen. In other words, the original owner is going to come back. I know. And when we get to that point in time, I'll reimburse. Okay. But meanwhile, the money that I was given, the money that I gave over, so what is it? A pikadon or matana? Again, depends who you ask. Okay. Amarav Hilchasa. Okay, at this point in time now, what are we looking at? We're looking at a lot of issues that were discussed. So issue number one. Going back now. you purchased property from your friend. That property was stolen property. And so now the original owner comes and takes it from you. You're seeking reimbursement from the seller, who was a thief also. So you're going to be collecting the purchase price as reimbursement. Clear. What about the shevach? That was a discussion. So, yesh lo mas v'yesh lo shevach, v'af api shelo pirish lo, es a shevach. Okay, so number one, the Gemara says, Rava says, as a conclusion, so yesh lo mas v'yesh lo shevach, so as a reimbursement, you're going to get the purchase price, and if there is, in fact, an appreciated value of the land, you get that as well. Now, mind you, by the way, just 2 days ago, we spent a full daf discussing Shmuel's position that you don't get the shevach. Okay, and by the way, I'll also add that normally the halacha falls like Shmuel, right, by Dina Mamanos. Okay, but Rava says no, not over here. You're going to be receiving reimbursement for a purchase price and the shevach as well.
What's that mean? Afal pishul up shevach. The last thing you just read.
Oh, even though that coverage wasn't clearly written in the shtar. In other words, right?
You sell something. There's no.
Right, but in other words, he's providing some form of title insurance, and the title insurance, normally what you have to do is you have to read in the title insurance what the coverage is covering. But over here, even though he didn't write that as part of the shtar, nevertheless, you're still going to get it. In other words, you're still entitled to that as reimbursement.
That he's the one who sold the land.
No,
you do whatever you want with it.
I understand that, but now, in other words, now he's going back. The buyer's going back to the seller now for reimbursement. In other words, because the land was taken away from him, rightfully so. Right. So now he's going back for reimbursement. So in terms of reimbursement, so what is he going to get as a reimbursement? Purchase price, obviously. But what about shevach? So what Rav is saying is the halach is he's going to get shevach as well. And even if that wasn't included as a line item in the title insurance. Okay. Hikar b'shein shelo, ma'os yesh lo shevach ein lo. Now, next. Let's say the lokech knew that the Goslin didn't actually own it. In other words, he knew it was a Goslin. So and nevertheless he gave money. So maus yeshlo shevach ein lo. So now at that point in time he's going to get maus, but he's not going to get shevach. In other words, at that point in time he was just basically giving the money over. But again, giving the money over like Rav or like Shmuel. So is it a gift or is it a pikadon? It's a pikadon, like Rav. Okay, next. Achrayas tov sofer hu, bein b'shtar yavah, bein b'shtar mekach memkar. And finally, achrayas. Okay, in other words, is there built an achrayas into every document? Now, I was about to say loan document, but, and I will, but in other words, is achrayas built into every document? The Gemara says yes, and it doesn't matter if it's a loan document or a sale document. I mean, achrayas tov sofer, it's built into the document. Meaning, remember, we had a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim as to whether or not if your loan document or a sale document is missing achrayos, whether or not it's presumed that it's covered and there's going to be achrayos, or maybe not. Maybe it was intentionally omitted. And the Gemara's conclusion is no, not intentionally omitted, unintentionally omitted, scribal error, however you want to say it. In other words, the despite the fact that the sofer didn't include it, once things are documented, it's at that point in time, it is assumed, it is presumed that there's going to be coverage. So coverage by a loan, of course, means that you have a lien, and coverage by a sale means that you're going to get reimbursed in the event that the land is taken away from you. Okay. Adkan, that really brings us to the end of yesterday's daf, which is not bad. We are now ready to embark on today's daf, but like I pointed out in the beginning of today, more of the same type of discussion. Obviously, new points over here, new wrinkles, but more or less, we're having a similar discussion. You bought land from a Goslin. Okay, up until now, how did the scenario play out? You bought land from the Goslin, and you didn't know he was a Goslin, and now the land is taken away from you, and we discussed at length whether or not you're going to get reimbursed. By the way, conclusion is you are. Not only going to get reimbursed, we just concluded that you're also going to be able to collect appreciated value as well. Good. Good. Been there, done that, covered that. Now, let's start off the same. You bought from the Goslin. Over here, however, he's a Goslin who's on his way, on his path to doing tshuva. Okay, so in other words, so far in his life, he stole land. He not only stole land, but he sold the stolen land. Okay, right here, he wasn't doing so well. But on his path to doing tshuva, so what does he do? So He wants to make good on the sale of the stolen land. So what does he want to do? He's going to go back to the buyer and he's going to go back to the original owner and say, look, right? Sorry. Right? I stole your land. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to buy it from you. And in doing so, retroactively now, I want to validate the sale that I made to the other guy. Okay. Beautiful. Good. Once again, by the way, as beautiful as it is, we're learning Gemara. So what are we interested in right now? Can I retroactively validate the sale? Okay. Lima Freya, a topic that comes up time and again throughout Shas. And here we go. Now, what you should be thinking about right now, and we're going to kind of get to it a little bit later on, is basically, can you make a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam? Can I effect a transaction on something that I don't have yet, but I will have in the future? Okay. And we know that's a machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Meir, whether or not you can make a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam. According to the Chachamim, you cannot. According to Rabbi Meir, you can. Good. These are the things that should be pronounced right now and floating in our heads as we go through the sugya. So let's start off. Ba mine Shmuel me Rav. So over here, Shmuel asks Rav. Right? It's very interesting, by the way. We don't get a lot of interaction between Shmuel and Rav. They were in two different communities. Right? A little bit of geography over here. I know very little geography. I should know more regarding the Gemara. In other words, that, you know, I do speak about this pretty often, but Rav was the Rosh Hashiva of Surah, and Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva of Naharda. So granted, distance wise, I don't know how far apart they were from one another. Hopefully, I'm going to get some sort of correspondence later today, showing me exactly where. Anyway, they didn't live together. They lived at the same tkufa. They were both first generation Amoraim. But in other words, but we don't see in the Gemara itself much interaction. But here we go. So Chazav Alachami Balam Rishon Emahu. Good. So exactly what we just discussed. In other words, I set it up. So now what's the following? The Gazlan sold to the Lokeach, but obviously he never owned the property because he's a Gazlan. But now he goes back to the original owner, and what he's going to do is going to buy it from the original owner so that he can retroactively validate the sale that he made with the lokeach. So new. What has that going to work? Yes or no? So Amar Lei. So Ma Machlo Rishon L'Sheni Kol Zchushet Tov L'Yado. Okay. So Rav in response says back to Shmuel, it works. Why? Because when the Gazan sells to the lokeach, what is he selling? Mm-hmm. He's not only selling the land, but he's also selling all rights that he has. All rights that he will receive. So even though currently he doesn't own the land right now, but the sale is going on, not only what he has, but what he will receive as well. Kol zchus shetavo liyado. So my time. So the Gemara says, now, why should that be? Meaning we are really going deep into the mindset of the Gazlan, and we're saying that the Gazlan is making a sale, not on current, but on future rights as well. So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations of why that is. So my time amar sechamar nichalei delo nikre gazlana, because what he wants to worry, what he's concerned about is his reputation. In other words, people are going to call him a gazlan. Now it happens to be that people call him a gazlan because he is. But in other words, but in terms of him trying to rehabilitate his reputation, so in other words, what he's looking to do, even as the gazlan right now, is that he's thinking, again, a little more psychology for today. He's thinking, look, currently right now, I know I'm a Gazlan, but I don't want it. I don't want the reputation anymore. So what I'm going to do, even though he stole the property and sold the property, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go back to the original owner. I'm going to buy it from him. In other words, I don't want people to call me a Gazlan. So this idea that I am going to rehabilitate my reputation, that is what's going to now give me the halachic validity of what am I transacting, what I have, and the future rights as well. I don't want people to call me Gazlan. Rav Ashi Amar Nicha Le Deleika Bam Nusa. Rav Ashi says something which sounds incredibly similar, and that is that he wants to be considered trustworthy. Okay. Now my Beinayu. Now those two statements sound incredibly similar to one another. And meanwhile, as the Gemara often does, and that is that if we have two opinions, there's got to be some sort of subtle difference between the two. A nafkamina. So the Gemara says, "Might be now you can be now de meis lokeach." So the Gemara says, okay, we're talking about a case where the Lokech dies. And now what the Gazlan's coming to do is the Gazlan's coming to take it away from the kids. So So if it is that he doesn't want the Lokech to call him a Gazlan, but the Lokech now at this point in time is dead, as we're on the top of Tezayinim and Aleph. If, however, he wants to be considered ne'eman, somebody trustworthy, well, even to the children, he wants to be trustworthy. Now, if you're having a difficult time understanding this nafkamina, don't worry, you're going to be in great company. Sof karele b'nei lokech gazlana. What if you're worried about name calling over here? The kids are going to start name calling you as well. Meaning, if you're going after the kids in order to get back the property that you stole, the kids are going to call you a gazlan. Okay, so Elika b'nei demis gazlan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try nafkamina a different way, and let's say that the gazlan dies. So again, the gazlan sold the property, and now he is going back to the original owner in order to buy from the original owner, so in order to retroactively validate the sale. And we said that it does retroactively validate. And why does it retroactively validate? Because he's selling not only what he has, but what he will have as well. That's what he's selling as well. And therefore, retroactively, it's validated. Why? So we just gave two reasons in the Gemara. One, so that the Lokech doesn't call him a gazlan. Two, so that his credibility and his reputation are going to be resuscitated. So the Gemara says, and we're looking for a nafka mina between these two reasons. So the Gemara says, well, the nafka mina would be where the gazlan dies. So ela ikad beinau demis gazlan. So manda amar nichalei lenishlo likurin gazlan hamisle. So the Gemara says, okay, now if you're worried about name calling, he's not worried about name calling anymore. He's dead. So manda amar nichalei delekem behemnusa hakanami afagav demis nichalei delekem behemnusa. If it's a question of your reputation, so even after you're dead, you're worried about your reputation. So the Gemara says, sof karvel b'nei gazlana. So the Gemara says, okay, but even still, meaning even after he's dead, so you know what's going to happen. So they're going to go over to the children of the gazlan, of the late gazlan, and they're going to say, you are b'nei gazlana. So once again, that it's still going to be concerned. Ela ika b'nayu. So this is going to be our third attempt to try to see a nafkamina, and that is the ava b'matana. So so what happened over here is that instead of selling it, he gifts it. Yave b'matana. So man damar nichalei delekem b'amnusa, matana nami nichalei delekem b'amnusa. So over here, if it's being a neman, being somebody who is trustworthy and people can count on him, so even if he gifted it, he didn't sell it, but he gifted it. So, but still, in other words, he's worried about reputation. In other words, I gifted property. And now what happens afterwards? The original owner takes it back. Okay, good. And what happened to his credit score and his credibility? It sinks. So if the issue is credit score and credibility, so now nemanus. Okay, good. So, and I'm sorry, even in the case of matana, it would be a concern. And man damer nichalei delo nikri gazlana amalei mi gazina minach. So if we're worried about name calling, specifically being called the gazlan, in this particular case of matana, we're not going to be worried about that. Why? Because the recipient of the matana, what is he going to taina? I can't believe. What do you mean I can't believe? In other words, he didn't buy the land. He was gifted the land. So if he was just gifted the land, so now the land is taken away from him. So now he's going to be start name calling. You're such a gazlan. I can't believe it. No. In other words, you didn't pay for that land. You just received it as a gift. I was taken away from you. Okay. All right. We just learned together that Shmuel asked Rav the following question, and that is that in a scenario where the Gazan stole land, sold it, again, the sale is obviously not yet a sale, sold the land, goes back to the original owner in order to negotiate a purchase to retroactively validate the sale. Does it work? Rav says, yes, it does work. Okay. Now, on this pshita, the Gemara says, here's what I think. I think Zavna or Orta Yave b'matana lav ukme kamelokeh kabai. Okay, so if we have a scenario where the Gazan who stole the land, let's say he makes an additional sale. Let's say he was Marishit to one of his sons. Now, this one I get a little bit confused by, I have to admit, because to be marsha to one of his sons does mean that he has to die. Okay, that one confuses me. And Yava Mamatan, or alternatively, gives it as a gift. So, Lav Lo Ukmei Kamei Lokech Kabai. At this point in time, clearly his efforts over here are not in order to retroactively validate the sale. It's such an obvious point, but okay, good. It's kind of setting us up for the following. Nafalei Beyerusha. So let's say the following, and that is that he stole the land. Who did he steal the land from? His own dad. Okay. I have to admit that's a little bit strange, but that's fine. So he stole the land from dad, and then he subsequently sold it to an individual, and now dad dies, and now he inherited the land. So now, Rav, are you prepared to say in this case over here, what did he sell? Kol zchus shetav liyado. You see, the idea of kol zchus shetav liyado, it's so easy to see it when he goes back to the original owner and negotiates to buy from the original owner. He's really working. Over here, however, he didn't do anything. He stole the land from his father, and then how did the land become his? All because of the death of the father. In other words, that was mimeila. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Yerusha mimeila hivalav iu katarach av asra. So that's mimeila, and so therefore he didn't work in order in terms of getting the land. And so maybe over here Rav would not say that there would be retroactive validation because he didn't really work in order to get it. So Gabi iu bechovo. So the Gemara says, let's say the Goslin collected the land as an outstanding obligation. Okay. So chazina. So the Gemara says as follows. So now, if, let's say, the Goslin's collecting an outstanding obligation, by the way, look how complicated this case is over here. Meaning the Goslin stole land, he sold, and he's looking to now retroactively validate it. And we want to know meaning what we already know is that if he goes back to the original owner and really makes an effort to buy it from the original owner, that will create retroactive validation. That one we know. What if it automatically comes to him, like Yerusha? He didn't work to get it. That we know as well. But now we're discussing a scenario in which he has a real debt that's owed to him, and now he's just simply collecting this land as debt. Which, I just, as I'm thinking about it, it's so bizarre. He's stealing it from a guy who also owes the money. And okay, whatever. Okay, it's complicated. So the Gemara says now, Gabi iu bechovo chazina yisle arachrita. Amar habi neluk mekame lokeach kabai v'ilo so zuzu debay iprue. So the Gemara says once again, is he looking to validate the sale retroactively? If there were multiple lands in which he could have chose from in order to exercise his lien and take back the land as an outstanding obligation, and he chose this particular land, so then by him choosing this particular land, it was obviously to validate the sale. But if there was no other lands to choose from and this was the only land, who knows? Who knows if he was looking to validate the sale? Yave ni'ale b'matana. Okay, now, what about the following? And that is that after the Goslin sold the land, and look, we're looking again to whether or not he's looking to retroactively validate the sale. So now we're going to be discussing a scenario in which the victim, the original owner, gifts him the land. Why did he do that? Who knows? But now, pligi ba Rav Achav Ravina Charamar Matana Ki Yerusha Dami Mela. So on one hand, how do we look at it? One way to look at it is it's a Yerusha, meaning he didn't do anything in order to get the land. He didn't effort. And so therefore, it doesn't retroactively validate the sale. V'charamar Matana Ke Mecher. Di lav tatarach v'artze kameh lo havi yav le matana. L'hachi tarach v'artze kameh ke echad leikam behem nusa. On the other hand, why in the world, I go back to a question that I asked just moments earlier, why in the world did the original owner gift them the land? Obviously, what the Goslin did is that the Goslin went over to the original owner and made nice to him, like really nice to him. And I'm really sorry and so forth and so on. I mean, if he were really sorry, by the way, I'm sure he should give back the land, but whatever. Whatever the dynamics were, in other words, he made efforts. He didn't make efforts to buy the land from the original owner, but he made enough efforts where the original owner said, you know what, Matana, I'm just going to gift it to you. And that is considered effort and endeavor, and therefore that will retroactively validate the sale. Okay. Adamas nichalei delekem beimnusa. Okay. Now we are extending a lot of compassion, but a lot of courtesy to the Goslin, meaning the Goslin, after having sold the land, So now we're looking at him retroactively validating the sale. At which point in time do we? At what point in time do we say he's a Goslin, and he's not looking to retroactively validate the sale? When do we get to that point in time? So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you when." Three opinions on this. I'm a Ravuna Achas Amad Abedin. Finally, when the Nigzal takes the Goslin to court, and the Goslin is standing there in court, it's at that point in time where now whatever happens from this point going forward is not a validation of the sale. Okay, that's Shita number one. Chia Barav Amar Adamata Adrachta Liade. We get to the point of Adrachta. Remember, we did this at the end of Baba Kama. Okay, I have pretty good memories, but there was a sequence of a lot of processing that needs to occur before the land is taken away from the Goslin. So the Adrachta, we're at the point of Adrachta, and Rashi over here reminds us as well. So there's a Hachrazah that's done, there's a proclamation that's done. Kol Misha Rutsa Liknos Karka Yavo Vikachenu. Okay, anyway. But the Adrachta, the letter of seizure. So once the Beis Din has now written up a letter of seizure, it's at that point in time now the Goslin is at a point of no return. The Goslin can no longer go back to the Nigzal, appease the Nigzal after the letter of seizure is written. And at that point in time, any sale that he did is not going to be retroactively validated. And Rav Papa Amar Ad de Matchalan Yuma Echrazasa. So the moment that the public declarations are made that this land over here is going to be auctioned off in order to reimburse fine. Three opinions amongst the Amorim at what point did we hit the point of no return? Okay. Okay, so the Gemara now has just one final wrap up on this point. We have a Goslin who sold the piece of property, okay, and Shmuel asks Rav, can we retroactively validate the sale? And the answer is yes. In other words, until you get to the point of no return, retroactively you can validate the sale. If the Goslin goes back to the Nigzal, the original owner, and says to him, look, I'm really sorry, I stole the land from you. Let me buy the land off of you. If he's able to do that, we went through so many different permutations, but just to go back to the basic case, if he's successfully able to buy the land from the original owner, that will retroactively validate the sale. Great. The Gemara is now just one follow-up question, and maybe you were thinking about this when we started it. Okay, great. The retroactive part, okay, that part's complicated. It's a davar shelo bal olam. We'll discuss that in just a few moments from now. But in the meantime, however, in other words, in order for a sale to go through, what do you have to do? You have to make a kinyan, and typically it's done with a shtar. The shtar was written up. Shtar was handed over to the purchaser. Okay, the Gemara says it's great. Maskel v'rami b'chama michti halokech b'maykan l'ha'ara. Meaning, okay, what did he do? He got a shtar. But hai shtara chas babamahu. It's a piece of paper. Meaning, it's worthless. It's a Gemara's expression that describes a worthless piece of paper. Meaning, when you received the shtar, at the time that you received the shtar, it didn't represent anything. The Goslin wasn't the owner at the time. I know later he goes back and he settles with the original owner. I get that part. But in other words, but king needs to be done with an instrument. And in this particular case, the instrument was a shtar. But the instrument of the shtar is, seemingly, it's worthless. So, Amrle Rava. So, Tehei Ma'amina Shebehuana Delo Kamrle Umidi. V'kasamech Alei Tarech Umais Alei Gamar Umakne Alei. So, the Gemara says, a kinyan is done with what's called Smichas Das. Smichas Das is basically, there's a level of trust and confidence. Meaning, that a kinyan, yes, it's true that there's an instrument that needs to be done in order to facilitate a kinyan. The instrument by land is going to be the Kesef Shtar Chazaka. That part's true. But really what the instrument does is that the instrument also is representative of, I'm confident now that I just made a purchase. Over here, there's an instrument, meaning there is a shtar, but is there any confidence? The Gemara says yes. Yes. And that's what we just read. Right? I'm going to just reread. Tehei b'ma'amino. Meaning that by virtue of the fact that I have confidence that he will really make an effort to go back, and he proves it to be so, it's with that hana that we made a kinyan. So mitzvah Rosh Hashanah Mashirish Me'abba Machulach Mashatala Mitzudasi Machulach Lomer Klum Mashirish Me'mina Abba Yom Machulach Mashatala Mitzudasi Yom Machulach Tvarav Kayamim. So Amar Rami Bar Chama. I'm sorry. Before we get to Rami Bar Chama. So now finally the Gemara unpackages what I've asked us all to wait for, and that is, wait one second. You're going to be able to retroactively validate the sale? You can't retroactively validate the sale. Meaning, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. What I will inherit from my father, I'm going to be selling to you right now. Or alternatively, what I will catch, right, you're by the pier. What I will catch, I'm selling to you right now. So long arm or club. Now, granted, by the way, I also read the second half of the Braisa. And the second half of the Braisa, what I'm going to be catching today, I'm selling to you, so that does work. Okay. Second half of the Braisa, please wait. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But in other words, in the first half of the Braisa, I cannot transact on something that I don't currently have, even though I will have in the future. It's what's called the Davar Shelo Bal Olam. So I'm a Rava Gavra Kachazina, to Yiftalo Kachazina. So Rava says, look, in other words, Rav Sheshet is asking the question. Rava says, Rav Sheshet is a great man. In this particular case, a great man, but not asking a great question. Okay? That was polite. That was impolite. Okay. You're just honest. So the, so hachas samchadaita, hachalo samchadaita. Again, we go back to the idea of smichas das. So in other words, when we talk about the sale of the land, so there was a consumer confidence. Over here, when I have somebody who's fishing, or someone promising that dad's going to die, and when I'm yorish, I'm selling it to you. In other words, these are things which we don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if a fish is going to get caught, and you don't know if dad is going to die. I mean, right. That we do know, but okay. But in other words, it's not in your control. So hachas samchadaita dazal tarchum aysilak yechadol nikrei gazana hachalos samchadaita, meaning smichas das. Okay, this is a big idea. Smichas das is a function of what you can control and what you can't control. Now, admittedly, over here, I say that, and I know, admittedly, over here, the Gazan really has the control to go back to the Nigzal and negotiate with him. Okay. But at least there are parts of it that he can control. In the case of the fishing, in the case of the dad dying, totally out of your control. I know fishermen would disagree. So, Shachulah Kamei d'Rabbi Abba Bar Zav d'Amar Lahu Zu Ein Tzricha Lifnim. So once again, this question was also posed. I mean, the question of Rav Sheshet that we just answered. So they sent it around. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda says, right, this question didn't bother me at all. I don't even need to bring it into the Beis Medrash. Amar Rava, here comes a great expression. Amar Rava Zut Sricha Lifnim V'Lifnai V'Lifnim. I think the question needs to be brought into the Beis Medrash. And not only that, Lifnai V'Lifnim, bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, in my mind, by the way, like, take it to the Rosh Yeshiva. So hachas samchadaita, so the v'hachalos samchadaita. But even as we brought it into the Beis Medrash, we gave the same answer that we just gave moments earlier. In the case of the Gazan selling the property, where we're looking to retroactively validate it, in that case over there, there was a hana. The hana was a smichas das, right? The consumer confidence that I know is going to make efforts to go ahead and to take ownership of the land. In the case of the fishing, in the case of dad dying, there was no smichas das. So there was a situation, Bumbadisa. Somebody bought land from a thief. And then the thief went back to the original owner, negotiated with him. And again, the question now becomes, can you retroactively validate that sale? So what they did is that they challenged the ruling based on the price that we just learned. And again, we're going to hear the same thing again. Amar Rav Yosef Zuin, it's Rich Lifnim, Amar Le Abay, it's Rich Lifnim, Lifnai, Lifnim. Hachasam chadaita, hachalosam chadaita. Great. Okay. So again, same back and forth, same answer. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. Okay. So in the case of the fishing, in the case of dad dying, so what do we say? You can't transact on a future. Right? The fish I'm going to catch doesn't work. Dad, the Yerusha I'm going to get, and I'm going to be transacting it right now, doesn't work. Fine. But then the price at the end says, but the fish that I catch today, that works. So Maishna Reisha Maishna Seifa. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Seifa Mash Yirish Me'abah Hayom Mishum Kvod Aviv and Mash Etala Mitzudasi Hayom Mishum Kedei Chayev. So in the second half of the Braisa, we'll explain like this. In other words, that which I inherit from my father today, What is that talking about? Rashi on the bottom explains as follows. And that is that Rachmanis, dad is a goses. And I know the following. I know that, in other words, goses means that the death is imminent. And we also know that I'm going to need to take care of dad, meaning tachrichin, kvura. And so right now, I'm the part of the Yerusha I'm going to be using in order to pay for that. So because that's a goses, because I need access to that money, so therefore I can transact that money right now. That's the case. That's the second half of the case with dad dying. And now what about the case of the fish? And we say hayom. So on that, Rav Yochanan's explanation is, as we turn to the Amud Beis, mishum kedei chayav, meaning really that transaction doesn't work. But for in this such a case, we're going to make an exception, meaning that you can't transact on a future. Period. But even though I said period, we'll then add one more sentence after that. But in order so that a person will be able to eat that particular day, we'll allow him to transact on a future. That's what's called kedei chayav. Okay. We're on Tezayin Amud Beis, and so having now concluded the question of Rav to Shmuel, which occupied the first half of today's daf. Other direction. So Shmuel asks from Rav, if, let's say, the Gazan sells the property, obviously that's not a sale, but goes back to the original owner, negotiates with him, actually purchases it from the original owner, can we retroactively validate the sale? So the answer that we've given so far is, yes, you can. Why? Because in the sale, what did you sell? What did the Gazan sell? Because Chushetav Aliyado. Okay, good. And how is that a sale? Through Smichas Das. Okay. That is not a bad summary for basically what we did for the first half of the daf. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Omer lechaver sadeh shani lokech lecheh she'ekachena kenuya lach mi'achshav kana. Okay, so the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav the following, and that is that I can flip a property even before I buy it. Okay. In other words, right, there are people out there, here I need Alan, but, okay. Alan, I know you'll listen later, but okay, good. So you're flipping a property. But generally speaking, what you do is that first you buy the property, then you flip it. So over here, you could flip the property even before you purchased it. And when, in fact, you purchase it now, retroactively, it gets flipped. So that's Rav's statement. So Amar Rav, Mr. Milsa de Rav, Bisadistam. So the Gemara says, okay, if we're talking about a property, so then maybe I can hear that. So the Gemara says, however, if I identify which property it is, so the Gemara says, I can't imagine. Meaning I'm right now talking about a property that's currently owned by somebody and I'm identifying which property it is. And I say to him that when I buy that property, it's going to get sold to you. And I'm going to make the sale to you right now. And so that in the future, when I go ahead now and I buy it, so then I'm going to flip it over to you. But the Gemara says, but come on. In other words, you don't know if you're going to be able to get it. So in fact, Valokim, I'm Rav Afilu Besadazu. And the Gemara says that when Rav made the statement, irrespective of whether we're talking about a property, generic, or we're talking about specifically that property. So, So the Gemara says, okay, now, how in the world can you flip a property on something you haven't yet purchased yet? So the only way that it works is only by subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, good. Meaning, like I said, in the beginning of today's daf, and the backdrop of this whole discussion is the machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say, "Ein adam makna davar shelo ba'olam." If you don't currently own it, you can't sell it. And Rav Meir says, "Adam makna davar shelo ba'olam." Good. So when Rav made the statement that you can flip a property, even though you haven't purchased it yet, and even if you identified which property it is that you will, in fact, be flipping, even though currently right now it's owned by somebody else, it works. So Rav has to be subscribing to the sheet of Rav Meir. Okay, good. So far, so good. D'tanya. Look, currently right now, I'm not going to go through every one of the cases. The idea we covered back in Kedushin, and that is currently I'm unavailable. Right? We'll go over case number one. And that is Currently, I'm not Jewish right now. It does. It really does impede the marriage. Right? It's just simply not going to work. Okay. So currently, I'm not Jewish right now. But as you know, I've been studying. I'm interested in becoming Jewish. So look, let's affect the Kedusha now based on the fact that I will convert. So again, it doesn't work. But according to Reb Meir, it does. So Reb Meir, Omer Mekudeshes. Now, Va'isha Kestei Zudamya.
The money that he gives her, she's a
guy. Huh?
The money while she was still,
I understand that, but that's how retroactive works. The retroactive works now that it's going to go back. It's going to go back retroactively. In other words, the kinyan will take place right now. She and him are unavailable to one another in a chinami. But in other words, but the way retroactive works is that now when he becomes available retroactively, that kinyan works. So Remeir Omer Mikudeshes Vaha Isha Kistei Zu Damya and Vamer Rebbe Meir Mikudeshes. Good. And now this woman over here is like identifying the property. In other words, if we identify the property, right? I'm flipping that property to you. Okay, great. Did you buy it yet? No, not yet. But when I buy it, though, however, it will be sold to you. So again, so once we subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, so then it works. And even if we know exactly which property we're talking about, it is perfectly analogous to identifying which woman you're going to want to marry. You can't marry her. Right, you're currently not Jewish. Okay, but exactly, but that's exactly the point. Okay, what do we want to do? We'll pause over here. Shtar Hakna. We'll continue with Shtar Hakna tomorrow. Okay, big topics that we discussed today. First of all, today we closed on a couple of major points. Right on the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis, yesterday's daf. So when seeking reimbursement for a property that was repossessed. Correctly repossessed, by the way. In other words, the guy who sold it to you was a Gazlan. And so now, when going back and seeking reimbursement for the property that was taken away, so what can you collect? So we concluded, meaning we discussed the last couple of days, but we concluded in the beginning of today's shiur that you're not only going to get reimbursement on purchase price, but also on Shevach as well. That's number one. Number two, you know it's stolen property and you gave money for the stolen property, but you know it was stolen property. You know he was a thief. So that money was a pikadon. It was not a gift. That was number two. And finally, number three, achrayos ta'ut sofer hu. That even though it does not say that there is going to be a recourse, and the contract doesn't write that in, as long as there is a contract, so there's going to be recourse. In other words, for a lender, he's going to be able to exercise a lien on a property. For a buyer, he will get compensated for the sale if, in fact, the property is taken away. Good. So that that's the idea of a chayes tarot sofer hu. So those are three conclusions that we concluded in the beginning of today's shiur. Then, immediately after that, we went into a lengthy discussion where Shmuel asked Rav, hey, if I go ahead now and purchase property from a thief, and then afterwards, subsequently, he goes back and to the original owner, negotiates to buy from the original owner, so can we retroactively validate the sale? Rav says, yes, you can. Yes, you can retroactively validate the sale. And then the Gemara had a whole bunch of... before we get to the detail. Before we get to the Gemara says, why should that be? Meaning, what's going on in the Gazan's mind? Rehabilitation. The Gemara said in one of two ways. The Gemara gave enough communities between the two ways. Fine. Then after that, we went through a series of what if the Gazan didn't make effort to go ahead and negotiate with the original owner? What if the land just came to him? Via Yerusha, via Matana. So what do we say under those circumstances? That was discussed on the Amud Aleph. How did the transaction work? Meaning when the Gazan sold the land to the Lokeach, meaning it was sold with paperwork, it was a shtar, but was there Smichas Das? The Gemara says, yes, there was Smichas Das. Okay. And finally, how does that sale retroactively validate according to Rav? Rav subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rameir says that Adam Machna Davar Shelo Ba'la Olam. In other words, even though you don't currently own it, but as long as you will own it, so retroactively it works. In other words, Rav is operating within Shita's Rebbe Meir. That's it.